Hello and welcome back to the Riverside City Podcast, Season 2, Cape School. I'm Paul, your Game Master. With me we have Rob, who plays Codex.
Howdy.
Art, who plays Chimera.
Evening.
And last but not least, Natalie, who plays Athena.
Hello.
No, sorry, Mirage.
Yes.
There you go.
I don't know anymore.
Her cape name is Mirage.
Okay, well, yes, I know that.
And he introduced me as Codex, and then Chimera.
I was waiting for Natalie, and then that's when I would say yes. Yes.
I did say Natalie.
Yeah.
All right. So, I just realized we forgot to do question of the day things, so sorry to whoever's turn it is. Art. I think he has it written down, though, so... Is question of the day time. Art, what's your question?
I don't think it's actually...
I think it is your turn.
The last person...
It's either Art or Paul.
It was me, because I said bucket list item or New Year's resolution. So it would be Paul's turn for a question of the day. And I feel like I had a pretty good one last time. So, Paul, you have to step it up.
Okay. Before the surge... Did your character believe in aliens?
Yes.
Because we know they exist. Like,
oh, that's a
good question. We have talked to them proof, you know what I mean? But that would be, it's interesting, it's not an easy question, but it's not like a thinky think one either.
I'm going to say probably not.
And now my question, if you say no, or actually I have a follow-up question on each. Why?
Yeah.
Because with the amount of different, how big space is.
That's where I land. Mm-hmm. There's too much out there for that to be something.
Even if the chance is so small, there's so much.
Because it's in an infinite space. Mm-hmm. In any infinite and infinitesimal chance is still an infinite chance.
Yep. Okay. And since I did not grow up with people having superpowers,
yeah,
my character still believes in it. He doesn't know that it's actually real.
No, we were informed.
Oh, okay,
like
so, Atlantis was actually talked about.
Atlantis was, yeah, it was in the news.
Okay,
and how they all live in North Dakota now.
A.
Okay, Art, so you said no, and why? Just too down to earth?
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, that would be my...
There.
Yeah, he's just, yeah, not that he put a lot of brain power into it.
And so how is he taking the fact that it is real?
He goes with the flow with a lot of things.
That makes sense. All right, Natalie? Yeah?
I said no.
Did not believe in aliens, and why not?
Because California has... highly documented air traffic control anyway. They actually do. Like, anything that's in the air is highly documented. They're pretty, like,
militant about it, yeah.
The militant in California. For some reason, I feel like every time I see something about aliens, it's like, oh, God, it was just a drone thing. That's what they said online. It's a drone. And that's a thing how California
is. So how is she taking the fact that it's definitely real now? Or has it not dawned on her yet?
No, it's obviously dawned on her. I think she just is like, okay.
I was wrong. All right, move on.
Okay,
interesting. All right, so you guys are... Who wants to do a recap? Because it's been like 3 weeks since we played. For fair reference, if we get something wrong, that's why.
We went to Australia.
And we were told to go hunting.
You were offered a chance to go hunting.
It sound like it was an offer of a
no.
chance.
They said, hey, do you want to go out? Do you want to go out and hunt some monsters? And you guys said yes.
And we met some doggies that weren't so nice.
I think it was more, hey, we're going hunting. You're coming along. That's kind of more what it was said.
And it was a challenge between us and the other group to mm-hmm. bag more points.
Right.
But they didn't really explain to us the point system that well.
No, correct. They didn't.
Which... I believe it's just adding together their CR rating.
That's correct. I think we talked about that afterward. Did we or no? He's like, I think maybe not. I don't know. So, yeah, but that is what it was. It was just counting CRs. So if you get a horde of like CR1s, it's really easy, but even a horde of CR1s will F you up eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and then they got attacked by Mama Summer Wolf, who roasted their car and almost killed two of them.
I still had 18 hit points left.
I had one.
How many temps did you burn for that fight, though?
A lot.
I had one.
And I haven't used my extra healing thing yet.
Yeah.
I had one. Or,
I think you dropped.
I got dropped once.
See, y'all, we turned the lethality up this campaign. It just feels like a fun silver campaign. All right. So, you guys are kind of carted. You're carted back. They take this strangely glowing engine that you had magicked.
Confused.
Yeah. They're like, it's still working. We're taking it back. They're expensive enough.
Yeah, I kind of upgraded it for you guys.
You can't get parts for these things anymore.
Yeah. That's why I fixed it.
And that's because it almost all manufacturers have gone to pure electric, and these are gasoline powered. And you guys make your way back in, and they are razzing you the whole time, but then they ask how many summer wolves, how many did you take down? One or two?
Two little ones, three little ones, and a big one. Big one.
Three and the mama.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we only took down like three drop bears. Oh.
I'll take that as we win.
No! And
do we have to go back over the videos?
No. Rongo is like, sorry, Dingo, we lose. He's like, damn it. We gotta tell the pro. I don't wanna. You tell him.
I'll tell him.
Yeah, that's good. No, yeah, no, no, we gotta tell him. We're gonna get in trouble.
Are we in Australia?
Yes.
Yeah. We're still in Australia.
So you're not doing an Australian accent?
It's really bad. No one wants that. So you make your way back to the compound, and you realize their school is not hidden at all. It's just like two-story walls out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. That's hidden enough in Australia.
I mean, it really is. Yeah. And there's like brush on the outside, so it looks like a natural formation, you know? And you go back inside and you talk to the headmaster comes over and he says, so who won?
We did.
Well, do you want the good news or the bad news?
No, they're supposed to say something first.
Give me the good news.
Well, there's one less large summer wolf.
And he like pets the two summer wolves that are falling behind him. Yeah, your mom was a great bitch. Okay.
And then three smaller ones. Whatever they got.
I've raised these since they were pups, so. And they said, we got three drop bears. Oh, well, that's a good day's hunt. Just didn't take down what are they called? Basically, he calls you, he uses some form of Australian slang to say outsider and or like non-native Yanks. There we go. You're from America. So he says, you lost. It's there's another challenge tomorrow. Don't worry about it. This is to be expected. They've gone through more extreme forms of combat than you have. They've already taken down a rogue cape, and they go, oh, who was that? Do you guys remember the name? Chip. Do you remember the name?
Chip, I think. Rocket elemental guy.
I think Chip. Oh, yeah. Chip
is correct.
But what Chip? What? What was his cape name? Whoever finds it gets an inspiration.
I got that actual name right away.
His first name, not his cape name. I mean, I can obviously find it by opening my notes. I did a lot of notes on that page.
Rock slide.
Ooh, that does sound right. We'll find out in 1 second if you're right, though. It was in Blue Springs. Ooh, ready? Rock Chipper.
Yeah. I got the chip.
Rock Chipper, a.k.a. Chip. Because his name is Chip. He went by Rock Chipper or Chip. So, and he says, oh, Rock Chipper. Isn't he the one by the mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you fight him?
In the mountains.
In his home turf?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was trying to keep us out of his hotel. Or his family's hotel.
Wow.
But the Yetis helped. at least they kept them other things preoccupied.
Yetis. What's wrong with these Yanks? Like, I mean, Yetis. The big fluffy guys?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wouldn't necessarily call them fluffy.
Nor cute.
And it's been Dango talking pretty much the whole time. You notice that Rango and Lin have pretty much just been letting him. He's the mouth. He's also the one who can turn into animals and stuff. Mm-hmm. Think Beast Boy, and you've pretty much got his personality down. And then Rango steps up. He says, "All right, guys, we have to go, finish up our physical training for the day, and then I do the wind down. If you're welcome to use the cooldown pool, if you'd like. It's hot out. There's guys and girls sections. Please avail yourself of it, and we'll see you guys at chow time in about an hour. All right.
I'll follow all you right. guys.
All right, and then you guys, and then Virgil says, actually, we're a little bit behind schedule. We're going to be leaving after dinner. So if you guys have anything else you want to do while you're here, please, don't hesitate." And anyway, she appeared out of fucking nowhere.
Of course she did.
Mm-hmm. And it actually makes the head, it makes the three, like the other guys jump. They're like, what the fuck? Blimey. where the hell did that,
We don't even flinch because she does it to us all the time.
All the time, yeah. Yep.
Don't embarrass us.
Her passive stealth is like 30. Like, she's just rocking so much tech to help it. Ow. Basically, and a permanency pass without a trace. No, she's not. Though she has turned it on, and then you saw her because it, like,
I was going to say, I glowed. Would see her. Yeah.
No, she's not.
And then she's like, I will never turn that on again. Yeah, poor Kosher.
I almost.
You can actually.
I'm good. That's plenty of space. I just needed a little bit more. Okay. But so, yeah, that's where that goes. You guys have an opportunity. There is a point shop here, and you find that your points are transferable. So if you're looking at something a little more rugged or outdoorsy, you want to check here. And I've decided that the points list is kind of stupid. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you ask me for a thing, and then I'll tell you how much it costs. Then we'll write it down.
All right.
Okay? Because me going through that whole list took, without exaggeration, like
days,
10 or 15 man hours, and I'm not willing to put that into it again.
Never mind. Paul?
Yes?
My usual question for a shop, what would you suggest?
Anything that, like, animal-related or outside-related or...
So if I came up with a concept for a thing, you could deny or approve?
Correct.
I love that.
This is a baby section of Shopping Simulator here, because it's giving you an opportunity to use your points for things, because you have points and you should use them.
So first thing I'm thinking about is kind of alchemy-related, combining a catalyst.
Okay, a catalyst.
If they have any catalyst ideas, so I can either further my research into the spark arms or combining the previous dagger we found with one of our spark arms.
I'm here. I was giving you 40% chance. Yeah, yeah, they've got something like that. It's fire. It's got a fire element to it naturally. It's actually when one of those big mamas dies for the summer wolves, they form into a fire core if they're not like shot through the heart.
I think I remember skinning one from the big mama.
You did. You have one.
Heart of a summer wolf.
Yep, big one.
And if I were to infuse that into one of our spark arms,
it is a catalyst. It is okay, not. It doesn't do anything. Essentially, okay. It's a really good glue. It'll hold other things together.
Okay.
But it is also a high grade. It would be the equivalent of like a rare magic item or maybe even very rare in quality. So you don't want to use it on something small. This is going to be a big hit. And to get one of those, it would cost 5 gold.
And we're about to sell one.
1 gold.
Up to you.
Yeah, it's all of us.
Though you think it would be very... You may want to use it later, but you'd have to have like the right opportunity.
Yep. Now, what about the other direction? If I have a catalyst, what about an item to combine?
Those are much more rare. They're because people if almost immediately use them.
Yeah.
Something like, and if they're finding out that Jeremy Montoya came out with a press conference about from Jeremy Montoya, the founder of Spark Arms. Well,
somebody found their notes.
Yeah, I did. It took a long time. Actually, no, it wasn't notes. I listened to the podcast when it released, and they mentioned his name, and I wrote it down as soon as I got out of the shower. But yeah, Jeremy Montoya, he in conjunction with Archie Alanopoulos, released a press conference about how certain monster parts are will almost naturally bond to your spark arms, and people have been trying that ever since. And that came out like 2 days ago.
Okay.
So all like the monster parts, they've been like trying to figure out how to shove them into things.
All I know is Shinsoko doesn't have to worry about his spell components anymore.
No, he does not. Things you could be looking for are like an item that is already magical, or not even magical, but tech based, that they would specifically have a use for here that might be cheaper than if you got it at your school. That's what I'm saying. Like a decant, like a tankard of endless water, not a decanter or like sprays, but like an ever full canteen would be like 3 copper here or 4 copper here, but it'd be like at least 15 or 20 anywhere else because it's less useful.
And then like 3 years from now is when we'll use it just randomly.
I'm just, that was an example, or like a tent that, that effectively acts as Lehman's Tiny Hut. They would have that here.
That would be a lot, wouldn't it?
For like 5 silver. Because it's so useful.
How much is in our party loot?
4 copper, 2 silver.
And we each have a silver apiece.
You could afford it. And that would be something that would be a very reasonable group buy. No one would question it.
We would have to dip into our own silver, you said?
Yep. We each have 1 and then 2 from the group.
It would add up to the 5 it costs.
Yep.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Tiny
hut. Is it reusable or no?
Yes.
Fantastic.
And so I'm assuming like a minute to set up?
No, it's however fast you can set up a tent.
Okay.
It's an actual tent. It's just when it sets up, it forms into like the right formation to set up a tiny hut.
The reason why I say a minute is because that's how long the spell takes to cast.
But here's the thing. It's however fast you can set up a tent. I don't know. Your Boy Scout knowledge might be really good at putting the tent up, especially with help.
I think my survival.
Oh, yeah. Knowledge. Between the two of you, you're going to crush this shit. That's gonna be a 2-round tiny hut. You're going to be like really happy that you have a tiny hut to dive into. Natalie, you could go for like poisonous arrows or different kinds of arrows.
That's what I was thinking. Because right now I have an elemental arrow.
That's just the thing you can charge your bow with once a day.
Right.
They have.
Because.
Go ahead.
Oh.
They have 10 arrows that do fire damage. An extra d6, but there's only 10 of them.
And when you fire them, are they gone permanently?
Yeah, they break.
Yeah. Well, because right now I have the I get once I can use the elemental arrow, and that's 3d6.
Yeah, an extra 3d6. I'm just saying this is they're consumable 10 arrows that do a d6 of fire each, in addition to whatever they normally do. And they give that for 5 points. Nah, 5 coppers.
How much damage does it do?
That 1 extra d6. Yeah, for a d6. Let's say, let's call it a d8 because it's for 5 points. 5 copper.
That's great.
Is that a yes?
You said they only have fire?
Yeah, because that they can use it with the cores, with the monsters out there.
That is very Australian to pick the thing that they have an abundance of.
Australian, yeah, they love fire.
Yeah.
All right, Art, so what do you have?
Fire.
And it's 10 arrows. You have to mark them off as they go, and they're gone.
Something along the lines of Boots of Elvenkind?
Oh, absolutely. They're too expensive.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, it was 5 copper.
5 copper.
Okay. 27 minus 5 is
22.
22.
Thank you. Yeah, no, yeah, yes, they have something like that art. No, you cannot afford it. I'm going to say they're like 5 silver by themselves because they're attunement free, advantage on stealth.
Yeah, I know.
I had to ask. All right, anything else you're looking for?
How about something that has like a pass without trace on it occasionally?
I can get you a 1-a-day pass without trace, but it would only be on you.
That's fine. That's
yeah, that'd be like 1-a-day pass without trace just on you. Let's say like 7 coppers.
Done.
It's a second level spell. Still have to concentrate on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Mark off your coppers, but there you go.
I'm working on it.
Anything else? Going once.
An all-purpose tool. Plus one.
I actually have what that would cost. It's in the coin. That is in the coin shop.
I'm referring to the artificer specific.
Yep. Yeah, that's in there. It's listed.
Under what category?
Silver.
Okay, never mind then.
But these, because I remember it's the equivalent of like the casting item for artificers.
Yep, it's like the
Ruby Round of the War, Rod of the Pack Keeper, or yep, something like that. Yeah, exactly. It's listed. It's in there. I know. I already went in and put all those on there. So the things that already have stats, I'm going to do there. But
okay, but silvers, and we are fresh out of silver.
Basically, if it has a real combat application, it's more expensive. But something like a once a day passive trace just on myself is not that expensive.
Honestly, Natalie's a ranger, so she may already have that spell prepared.
She can't cast it yet, I don't think.
Next level, she gets her second level spells, I think.
Yes, I think so.
So what about an attuned version of the Boots of Elvenkind?
No. They're very expensive.
Well, that's why I'm saying the attuned version.
Still be expensive.
Would you value an uncommon item at silver?
Usually, it all depends on what it is. I literally made a huge list of where things are. I know for a
fact. Yeah, most things I'm interested in is usually combat related.
Boots of Elvenkind, I was wrong, are 15 copper.
Oh. So
I did have a price for them.
Yeah, you did.
Like I said, there's a price. That is the price. I said it.
And it gives you advantage on stealth. Do they have any in stock?
Do you want one?
They have one.
You can have it. It's okay. I'll keep the ones I got.
I get the right one. You get the left one.
No, I'll keep the pair I got. You can have those.
Yeah, I'm not dexterous at all, so my stealth's a +2.
You can have those. I'll keep the ones I have. I'm good.
I do have to check something in my alternative mode for my armor. It's the other direction for feats.
Yeah, Silver Coin Shop has the weapons at the top of the page. +1.
And the casting focus items are 10 silver. Casting focus items are 10 silver. The +1 version.
I'm checking on the other mode, the infiltrator mode. That naturally gives me
advantage on stealth.
That's what I'm checking. Yeah. So I could switch modes to get that.
Yeah.
But would that affect my hammer?
Probably not.
To armor mode where I no longer have the thunder gauntlets, I have the lightning launcher instead.
I don't think it would change it. No, I don't think so. Maybe we'll talk about it later.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
There's a horse whistle. There's a dog whistle. Is there a cat whistle?
No.
Like, for him to just come back?
No. He's a cat. They don't listen.
I meant to just, like, recall to come back.
You can just tell him.
He doesn't listen.
Then what's the point?
But what if he's magically detained somewhere? I could just whistle and then it'll come. He'll come magically back. You can just
summon him back.
But he's a cat.
He's magically tied to you.
That's true.
Or power tied to you.
Is there something dumb that I can buy like that? Animal related?
There's a bag of endless crocodile treats.
Can I dump out the crocodile treats and put in cat treats?
It's like little bits of meat, so that would work for a cat.
And then I ask him, Murphy, is this adequate?
I'd like to see the goods. And
do they let me have see one?
Yeah, it's endless, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a half inch cube. Let's say it's a 1-inch cube, so you have to cut it once, but he says,
give me the whole thing.
I'm going to puke later.
Is that good?
It's pretty good, yeah.
You didn't threaten to puke in your shoe, so I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it was just because it's still a lot of food. That'd be good for when you're big, too.
I want it.
Okay. How much is it?
10 copper.
Holy shit, Murphy, you're expensive. You got something more expensive than I did.
It's endless food. It's meat. It's actual food.
And we could eat it, too.
Theoretically, if you had to, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not cooked.
Oh. Yeah, we have cantrips.
It's just meat chunks. You just chunk, 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 into the pan.
They can stew.
Yeah.
I'm really thinking about those elven boots for 15 copper.
Basically, he's saying, if you don't want it, I'll get it.
No, you take them.
I can cover you if you want them. You're the first one to ask.
I gave you the wrong price, because they are 15 coppers.
Oh, all right, I'll buy it.
You don't need it.
I'm joking.
I like the ones with the patch without trace instead.
No, that's not a... Those aren't boots.
Oh.
That's just like a...
Okay.
Not a pin, but... I want to do something very Australian. It's like a bolo tie.
That's more Texan than Australian.
Okay, then what's something very Australian? Belt buckle? They do belt buckles there, I know.
Yeah.
It's a belt buckle. Comes with like a leather, like a crocodile belt or something. Or
alligator.
Do they have alligators down there?
Crocodile.
You know, I was going to say it's crocodiles. A crocodile skin belt. It actually matches your armor pretty closely. Are you buying the boots or not? Are you buying the boots or not?
I'm not buying the boots.
I can buy them for you.
Don't need them.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Is there another of those pins?
Or yeah. They make them.
For how much was it?
7.
Always have advantage, which is a +5.
No, it's effectively +3.5.
3.5 or +10 for 10 minutes.
But you have to concentrate on it.
Ah, and since it doesn't affect the rest of the party, I'll go for the boots.
As we chase the cat out of the room.
She's going to come back.
She will. That's okay. So, you guys, you end up chatting for a while. You chat with the shopkeepers. You chat with the quartermaster. And you have dinner. And the dinner's good. It's not as you were expecting rustic. But
I was waiting for that word.
But instead, you find out that one of the capes here was a former Michelin star chef. So he puts on like a weirdly fine dining meal for you guys to leave from. Because you already had like lunch that was kind of, you know, down to earth.
Gee, where did he go cooking? Where did he learn his trade?
In Sydney. There's a cooking academy. I know this from real life. There's a school for chefs in Sydney. It's not quite as like renowned as the Cordon Bleu or anything like that, but it is.
And you know, Michelin stars are
the tire company.
Well,
yes,
yeah, no, but United States,
yeah,
only Michelin star restaurants are in three cities.
New York, Chicago, and
LA.
I believe it.
Nowhere else in the country has a Michelin star.
Oh my God, you're so right.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I mean, here's the thing: it's hot spots, places you want to drive your car to. That's where it came from. Mm-hmm.
But you would guess like it'd be in other cities too, you know, with how much they talk about it.
But yeah, you dine on some really good Aboriginal Australian food. It's really, really hearty and at the same time refined. It's very strange. But you have a really nice meal, and then you're told by Bridget, hey, we're leaving first light, so get ready. You're going to want to dress in your winter clothing again?
I'm going to take my time to switch my thing back to cold resistance.
Because you're going to be going into the mountains.
Didn't we just come from the mountains?
The moment
different set.
The moment okay. I think I'm safe from the cold, they bring me right back to it.
Yeah, that's the Southern California girl in there.
They pull me back into the cold.
With vulnerability to cold damage.
That's the thing.
From SoCal.
None of their vulnerabilities have ever come up, but for some reason mine keeps coming up.
Acid? I got hit by the crab acid.
Mine is also environmental and seems to affect me.
Aren't yours is lightning?
Necrotic.
Poison. That's how I have to give you like a zombie outbreak or something like that, but I'd have to find a good spot for that. Or just have a cowl hit you with it, because that would really hurt.
My God, this is like
inflict wounds is lethal to you.
This is like when I picked the vulnerability of disease, Paul.
I do this, and I do... Oh, God. That wasn't actually that bad. It'd be 22.
Doubled.
No, I did. A 12, no, 24. It was a bad roll. Anyway, so yeah, you guys, you're told that you're going to be in the mountains. You're going to visit Jinja tomorrow.
Jinja.
Jinja translates to shrine, or... Mm-hmm. And their head, and you're gonna find out who the headmasters are when you're there. I think you, if you remember, you should have it written down.
I remember.
Who are they, Natalie?
It's the pop singer.
Well, what's her name?
I don't remember, but it's and then it's also the Kitsune. The old lady at the noodle shop.
And Yatagatsu.
No. Amaterasu.
That's what I was trying
okay,
to say.
I think we all get inspiration for that because we all helped each other.
I will give out one. Anyone at the table can pick it, can grab it. There's an inspiration ball floating in the air. Someone grab it. Who has none on their sheet?
I'll take it.
I got one, so.
I think, God, I don't remember.
And I have a lucky die.
And I also have lucky, yeah. I have two inspiration, so you take it.
Natalie says, Paul never gives me inspiration.
I haven't said that in so long.
Like two sessions ago. So like 4 weeks ago.
Oh, but then you gave me like two in a row, so then we were tight and we were fine.
Okay.
That
anyway.
That would be 5 weeks ago, because 4 weeks ago I was in Hawaii.
Yeah. Anyway, so you guys wake up, and it is at the ass crack of dawn. It's like 6 and change. 5:30 and change. And Bridget is hovering over you guys like, we need to go. The teleportation pod's already here.
All right.
Freaking Japanese transportation schedule's always on time.
I feel like that's somewhat true.
No, it is. If they're off by like
they get really mad.
If they're off by like more than a minute, they can get fired.
Yeah.
Unless there's extenuating circumstances,
like that train game.
Yes.
On the Switch.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Alex and Jared played.
Yeah.
I think Brett was there too, but anyway.
And then Beat 'em Up Salsa played it.
Okay, so, but you guys show up, and it's obviously the same tech as the transportation pods you're used to, but it's not white. Instead, it's red.
Because this is our first time going from school to school that isn't our own.
Correct. Mm. And you guys get in, and in Japanese, it reads out instructions, and then it immediately repeats it in English. So, don't worry about that. And Bridget's like, all right, so Jinja, we're going to be going up to the mountain. We're going to be in the coldest part of Japan right now. Sorry. Up in the mountains. And
you said what time is it?
5:30 in the morning.
Okay.
In Australia, mm-hmm. which is in the same time zone as Japan.
No, actually.
Is it one off?
Japan is an hour earlier.
So it'd be 6 a.m. in Japan. 6:30.
No, it'd be 4:30 in Japan.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Before. Which is farther east. Australia is farther east.
Yes. No. So Australia is farther west.
So it's... I deal with time zones every day. The farther east you go, the earlier it is.
Canberra, Australia is 1 hour ahead of Tokyo, Japan.
So it is farther east than Japan.
No.
Japan is farther west. It has to be. I'm literally... Here's the map. It's here. Or here. And you're from your perspective.
It depends on where we are in Australia.
Sit. You're right in the middle of it.
Because Australia has 6 different time zones.
I know.
Not the best map.
Holy
shit. The first one that actually had
6 Australia. Time zones?
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
France has 13.
It only scrapes 3.
What do you mean it has 13 time zones?
Colonies.
Oh, okay.
But no, there's only 3 major time zones, and then there's each one has their own. There's 2 that are subdivided.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, it lines up. You're in the center, and it lines up with where we're good. We're good time zone wise. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so you guys wake up. You guys zap through, and you step out, and you see mountains, and you see a gorgeous, or you see a what was it called? A torii gate. And a pathway leading up. And she says, yeah, they don't, before Bridget can say anything, lady with foxtails, with 9 foxtails and fox ears appears out of nowhere and says, yeah, sorry, the portals don't go any farther into the school. You're going to have to follow me. Hi, I'm Kitsune. And if you live in this world, you know that Kitsune is a pop star. She is the biggest Japanese pop star. She comes out with 1 new song a year, and her concerts destroy totals, just destroy any and all box office charts. But she's been doing it for like 20 years, so her concert is every song she's ever done.
So she has 20 songs in total?
She put out like an album to start with, like 15 songs, but now she puts out one, maybe she puts out 1 album a year. Let's say it's 1 album a year. Mm-hmm. So it's every year it's a new album,
mm-hmm.
and it's just blows up the world. And she does. It's multilingual. There's Japanese, English, and let's say like 3 other languages, you know. And she sings all of them. So, but yeah, she says, you know, I'm the co-headmistress of the school. It's lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Nice to meet you.
I hope you get along well with our rising stars.
I'm sure we will be fine.
All right, and she leads you up the sweeping path through a bunch of torii gates, and she's explaining like, you know, this is in a remote mountainous region of Japan. There's not really any civilians nearby, and a lot of their students are trained in transportation magic or powers because they have to be able to get out, and they don't allow the JSA to have access to the school. They are fully independent of the JSA, unlike your guys' Suit Cape School, which is not. It is very much so funded by the FSA. No.
ISA.
The correction. No. Cape School is funded by... it's funded by Archdiakonopoulos and Shinsoku, specifically. but the FSA has... rather than funding it, they have provided the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have any stake, but Shinsoku knew who to call. Hey, Archie, you want in on a Cape School that has no ties to the government? Why, yes, I do, Shinsoku. Let's talk. I know where we could build it. Anyway, you guys are let up, and you can ask it like historical facts, and she's a font of knowledge, until you kind of walk up and you enter into a secluded glade that has 9 pagodas of different heights, and in the very center there's like a much shorter, like only almost like a gazebo. And in it is seated an older woman with wearing a golden kimono with red flaming birds over it. And she, you know, waves at you to come sit with her. And she says, that's my grandmother. Mother, sorry. That's my mother. No, I'm almost sure it was grandma. I wrote it down in my note for that. Son of a bitch. Guess I have to find that note. Hate myself. Stupid notes. It is in the lost notes. We will find them eventually. But I believe it was her. It's her grandmother. They're related. No, it is her mother, and no one knows. They think it's her grandmother. That's what it is.
That's sorry. What we talked about.
Thank you. But yeah, so she comes over and she says, you can call me Amaterasu. I am the other co-headmistress. This is my daughter, not granddaughter. And he looks at you each like with not daggers, but like, don't fucking talk sass to me. She says, up until about 6 months ago, I lived in Riverside City. So don't give me no flack here. Okay. I'm still not sure why they let me move back, but don't, never mind. That's a story for another day. And just kind of like tell me about yourselves, and I assume you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys sit and talk with Amaterasu and Itsukitsune. They're very genial. They provide you with breakfast, and it's rolled eggs, and you know, like a traditional Japanese breakfast, or I guess a modern traditional Japanese breakfast, like what you think of when you think Japanese breakfast. And then they say, all right, well, we're going to lead you over to the pagoda with, or the tower with our star class. And you're going to notice you've seen some students, but they're always traveling their packs of three. And you've only seen like maybe four or five groups. And you figure out that's probably all they have. Just like Australia only had like two other groups. So there's a reason why yours is more, because the population is so much bigger. And even then, you have multiple schools for the U.S. And she'll explain that, you know, population-wise. And then you got, like, India has one school, but they probably have a bunch of people. Or they don't, you know. Or they don't have as many people as they used to. But same thing with China. They don't have enough togetherness to do it. So you guys are led over to the tower by Kitsune. And she says, you know, please let us know if you have any questions. She says, Bridget, please stay with me. I have some questions for you. Let them get to know their counterparts, okay? And Bridget's like, I'll do what I want, but sure. Okay. Like, she almost faded out of existence again. And she's like, I know where you are. Just come on, come on, let's go. Let's grab a drink. And, you know, she walks back. She says, don't do anything stupid. Hold on.
Specifically looking
at pointing at me? Yeah.
And she says, don't cause an international incident.
I didn't cause an international incident the last time either.
It's hard to piss off the Australians. Tell me it's not.
I feel like they would be passive aggressive about it, to be honest with you.
Yes, but they're not. They're very direct.
Yes, they're very direct.
Oh, okay.
So if you piss them off, they'd let you know it.
Yeah, they don't hold back.
And you didn't. But they're also, they're hard to piss off because they're pretty easygoing. That is not here. Don't piss them off. No seducing anybody.
Would I do something like that?
You haven't met these. You haven't met these girls. No. and
how about this?
Kitsune looks at you and says, looks at him, is that a real problem? He says, yeah, I think it is.
I don't seduce. I flirt.
That's fine.
No, Athena no promises. Has not stopped laughing during this whole thing.
Yep.
Okay, so you guys go inside and you hear the sounds of combat. You hear like sparring. You see magic being thrown. You see the flash of like a bolt of lightning. You know, you see a lot of flashy things. You hear the sounds of like energy weapons burring up, and the door opens, and it's the whole bottom level is sand, and you see fighting are a trio, and they're in a three-way battle, just totally trying to destroy each other. You know, we've got energy blasts from a kid, from someone wearing all black armor with green antennas, like whole body suit. You've got someone dressed up like a traditional Miko. Conveniently, her cape name is Miko.
It's like we met these people.
Oh yeah, you did meet them, didn't you?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll reintroduce them really fast, and then you've got the guy with the big sword who's shooting energy blasts, and they're really hauling off on each other, and then they're like, and Kitsune goes, "Hey, you got guests. Be nice." And then she like slams the paper doors, and they clack shut. And you guys are left kind of alone with them, and they straighten themselves up and like, "Oh, sorry." And they're like, "Are you okay? Sorry, I got you there." They're very like, "Fighting's over. You good?" And Miko walks around and it's like, "All right, everybody get together." And then she just starts chanting, and then all of a sudden they start glowing and healing. And then they walk over, and a guy with the big ass blonde hair steps over and he says, "Name's Trenta. Or Matsuko Juro." And he reaches out a hand to shake for probably whoever is in the middle. So
probably me.
Codex? Yeah, he shakes your hand. He shakes your hand firmly, like,
"I got 18 strength."
And he
I have 18 strength.
So yeah. And he has 20. He goes, and you're like, "Oh," and you're like, but if he doesn't like aggressively break your hand, like that's not a thing. And then he reaches out, he shakes everyone else's hand, but he saves.
Well, when it comes to me, I'm just going to do the traditional bow.
And he looks at you like, "Okay." And he very like perfectly traditional bow. And then, he bows to you and then reaches out to shake your hand, Athena. And then he turns it and he kisses top of your hand. And, he's a little flirty, but we're going to spare the people that,
And then Murphy's pokes his head out and puts his paw out.
And he shakes it. Mr. Cat. Yes. He just shakes the cat's paw as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Miko comes over and, you know, her name is Takeda Yukiko. And then Bug, technopath in the black armor, is Kita Seiji. They're very friendly. And they say, "So, we were not told why you were coming."
"We weren't told why we were shipped here."
"Awesome.
Yep.
We should go ask."
"Why?"
This is Bug, the technopath.
Yeah. "I'm going, why?"
"Because I can't get an internet connection right now, and that's very weird."
"Oh. I think they're trying to see how we
interact.
You know we're being watched, right?"
Yeah, he points to like 14 cameras in the room alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
"You know, they're figuring out whether or not my suspicions are they're trying to figure out whether or not we're going to have issues or problems just because they're thinking we're going to become rivals."
"I mean, I assume we are. You've beaten us once. We won't let it happen again."
Oh.
And this has all been Bugged shit talking, to be clear. Like, Trench is just nodding like, "Yes, you're correct," but he is. Just shit talking. He's like 4'3", like or maybe like 4'5". He's short, but he shit talks like he's 6'5", you know. And he says, "Actually, that's weird. And it's not answering."
Yeah, can I make a tech or magic tech check to see what he's actually trying to interact with?
You don't have technopathy,
but I still have tech.
You would need to have something. Here's the thing: you don't have a system in place to find things like this.
Okay.
If you were actively like, if you were connected to a console, totally different. But you're not. This is like tech is talking to him.
Tech talks to me.
Magitech talks to you. We talked about this last time. They are not the same thing. It's been very useful, but like, I'm not going to give you like essentially three power sets in one. Anyway, so he says, "That's strange. Team, we should go to the next floor."
"Lead the way."
"I didn't say you guys had to come with, but we're gonna go upstairs." And Trenta's like, "Dude, lighten up." And then like his eyes, like he's got, you know, everyone has AR rings, you know, like that's normal or some kind of AR device. And You see, like, his eyes dilate for a second. Oh, yeah, we should... we're going to go upstairs. You guys can stay. You don't have to come with.
No, it's okay. We're told to stay with you guys.
Yep.
Oh, okay. And, you know, they walk to the stairs pretty quickly. Do you follow quickly, or do you walk slowly?
I'm half a step behind them.
Okay. About maybe 10 seconds after you go, beams of energy just sweep through the room. And, like, right where you guys were, like, over the cross, the whole thing. And you see, like, just absolutely decimates, like, some training dummies just fall apart. I believe this is a test.
No kidding.
I don't like this one. And he says that in Japanese to his team.
And I'll translate for these two.
Yeah. Japanese now, my list.
No.
He looks at you and he says, I don't like you in English.
hey, I'm as much of a friend as you want to make me.
I'm a bug and you are plants.
Yeah.
I'll devour you.
What language is he speaking?
English.
And I'm a boot and I will squish you.
And Trenta steps over and says, No. Be nice. We have our countries are allies. We should try not to be too much assholes to each other, okay? And he looks at Bug. He says, Bug, do not make me push you down the stairs. I will do it again.
Yeah, Bug, maybe get that stick up your ass.
Miko giggles, like, under behind her hand. Oh, man,
I've never said that in real life, and it feels wonderful.
I have. I said you should get that stick out of your
ass. Oh, man, that felt wonderful.
Anyway, so you guys come to the next floor, and it is a... looks like it's an agility course. There are looks like it's platforms that are very, very small, and you have to dance across them to get to the next side of the other side. And you see the other guy's like, fuck, okay. And the guy who can fly just flies.
Hey, I fly too.
I'm a bunny. I can jump.
So I'm going to need three acrobatics checks. If you can fly, I'm going to need you to make two. I'm going to need you to make acrobatics checks, but they're easier. Because there are aerial things that will shoot out too. Because otherwise it'd be pointless for Trenta.
Okay. Are you ready?
Actually, we're going to do them one by one.
Oh.
Because they have to go as well.
I got really excited, so I rolled first.
Hang on. Let me double check one thing.
Do I need to roll again, Paul?
As long as you know which is 1, 2, 3.
When?
Which is first, second, and third.
Oh, I just rolled 1 so far. Oh,
that's fine, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, for the first one, our S is to hold, so we're waiting.
I'll just hold it.
You said agility checks?
Yeah.
Or acrobatics?
It would be acrobatics or athletics, right. Whichever is better.
How far is it to the other side?
Okay.
There's invisible walls. That's why you can't just jump across.
How far is it to the other side?
Like 150 feet.
Okay.
It's a big tower.
My thought was, yeah, I'll just teleport.
It's the biggest tower.
Just right. Teleport and give me a fair distance.
I'm going to cast a quick spell.
Long Strider? Enhance ability? Agility? Or...
Cat's Grace, yep.
Who are you casting it on?
Himself.
Do you need help?
Here's the thing. So acrobatics is the easiest, but you can do strength at a minus two. Athletics at a minus two. Effectively, I'm telling you, it shifts the DC up two, but I'm just letting you know it's up at a penalty of two.
Hmm. Rolling at plus two or rolling at plus seven?
You have expertise in athletics?
No.
What?
I'm a plus four, plus proficiency of three.
That's seven, minus two is five, yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying...
you're going to do that one, I got it. Okay.
Do you want extra?
No, he's fine. All right, ready?
Actually, I at least have proficiency in athletics.
All right, it's going to be three checks. We're going to go check one.
Mm-hmm.
This is... first one's got an 18.
Wait, was it just the second one?
No, just we're on the first one.
Oh, okay.
I have advantage.
Get advantage.
You see Trenta and Miko do this without batting an eyelash, and Bug, and the first one, his leg, he absolutely falls in, and he's going to take some damage. And then he gets, like, popped back up by a threat of a water that Miko shot down to grab him.
I figure if my 19 on the die, I might save him.
You're going to be... she does it pretty fast as well. She had, like, a 27 on the check. Okay. Art, how'd you do?
17 plus 6 for 23.
Pretty good. That's better than him. And Natalie?
I rolled an 11 plus 8 for 19.
You succeeded. The DC was 17.
And 19 out of the die plus 7?
Yeah, 26. You crushed it. Five.
But I'm just giving the raw numbers and I'm letting him adjust.
I told you to subtract 2 when you do okay. This because I always want to. Flat numbers easier for this. Trent is doing the same thing. But he's flying, so it's different. Because to fly, you have to use acrobatics. You have to use acrobatics. If you can't athletics, you're flying. Unless you have wings. So you're jumping then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number 2. So the things start to get slightly farther apart, and they're slippery. And it looks like every couple of them might be slippery. Fine.
No, wait.
I'm so glad I cast that.
I'm not even finished. I'm still rolling shit.
2, 3, 17, then 18. So.
Why did you roll 4 times? Oh, advantage. Last time and this time?
Yeah.
You're first just. I was wondering why you had both sets of dice out.
I'm just keeping track.
It's so close to being done. Well done.
Guidance yourself. All right. So I'll tell you how they do first. Both Trenta. So Trenta gets blasted in the air by a laser beam and takes some damage. Miko goes to jump and she falls in this time. Gets hit by wind blade, and then she springs herself back up with an elemental surge. But Bug is totally fine. It looks like he's got little drones under his feet, and he's using them to kind of navigate the sky better. How'd you guys do?
Well, I had rolled a 9 plus the 5 for 16.
Yeah, 14.
For 14. And so I had to guidance myself. To make it 17.
And you got the 17 you needed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Art?
I rolled an 18 plus 6 for 24.
You did great, Natalie.
16 plus my 8.
24.
For 24.
You guys are making them look bad.
Good.
Straight up.
You well, specifically Bug.
No, Bug did fine the second time.
I know, but I'm just saying, like.
Changing dice. Because
we're making them look bad.
Betraying me. All right.
Third
time. And this time they are super far apart, and it looks like they are literally coated in like Vaseline or something uber slippery. This is a harder DC, I'm telling you.
Oh.
There it is. Did you inspire that?
Yes, I'm going to use my inspiration.
Would you like a dry erase marker for that?
Yeah.
I have one.
Okay.
It's literally right there. It should be on the table. It's right there.
Opa. Do you want to guess what I rolled?
I want to wait. Okay. I'll find out. So for the Japanese team. They got a resounding success, another resounding success for Miko. And then Bug, he would have succeeded if it had been the other tests. But with the increased DC, he accidentally steps on one of his drones and fumbles and falls in and is going to take a lot more damage this time. And he's now limping, but he does make it over to the other side. All right. And Miko's like, oh, God, I got to heal you now. And she, like, heals him pretty fucking well, actually. Holy shit, that was a good one. It's actually almost full. Okay. How'd you guys do?
Well, Now that I'm seeing people get injured, I'm going to activate my temporary hit points.
That's a good idea.
I rolled a 12 plus my 7/5 for 17. So I'm like, I need to guidance again for 18.
Fails.
Yep. I saw that coming.
You're going to take 12 damage. As you get hit, as you get buffeted by wind blades. And I assume you just fly back up.
Yep.
Okay. Art.
Well, after I used my inspiration to reroll my 5 and 3, I ended up with a 17 plus 6 for 23.
Natalie.
I rolled a natural 20.
I'm gonna let you help Art and make him not use his inspiration. Within that 20, if you'd like.
I would like to do that.
Okay.
Or it's like, hell yeah, put the remark
that. Yeah, put that thing. Shit back.
Put that shit back in the
Wait, could I have helped Codex?
No.
Oh.
You can't lift Codex.
I forget that this is not Luna.
Correct.
I can just lift everyone.
And also, in my head, it was Codex leading the line, and then you were at the back.
I was
in
the back, yeah.
So you could catch one, you couldn't catch the other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine it says Murphy just large sizing, pawing him up like a swat in the ass, like get up there.
Or just like a animal hand, just spirit hand.
A spirit of a tiger claw just like mm-hmm. paw just whaps him in the ass and knocks him in the air. Catches himself.
Beast of air?
Huh? I do have a beast of air, but wouldn't it be funny to just be carried by a tiger paw?
So you guys get across the other side, and the others they're like, yeah, this is not our favorite test. It's been a while since they made us do this.
I activate another set of 5 temporary hit points.
He says, all right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
You lead.
All right, and they go up, and you hear is a howling wind from up above, from the next one up. And you look out, and there are no sides on this tower, on this floor. It's just, like, ice. Posts. Uh-huh. And there is the other set of stairs across the way, and there are wind generators just blasting wind at you. What stat do you think you're using this time?
Strength.
You got it, and you got it in one. I don't know what other stat you could use. If you can convince me, you can have it. But you need to think of another stat if you're going to try. It's athletics.
Or acrobatics at -2?
No.
Okay.
I was trying. How are you going to acrobatics you out of the fucking wind turbines? Bug goes, I have something for this. And you see his boots like turn into like 4 spikes, just go kunk, kunk, and like ice for walking on ice. But he's actually stabbing into the tatami floors.
He's making his own cleats.
Yes.
So how can I convince you for sleight of hand? Now,
like you can't.
Paul. Okay, so sleight of hand you is can't. What are we supposed to do with strength?
Resist the wind.
Resist the wind.
Ride Murphy. I mean,
my dexterous hands could hold onto the pole better than my.
There's no pole. You're walking across.
You said a pole. There's poles.
Pole's holding the ceiling up, but there's only on the only on Murphy, the outside. Couldn't I? Yeah, you could have Murphy walk you.
Yeah,
you're large. You get advantage.
Yeah,
he gets advantage. Sorry.
Wait, can I carry 2 people?
No.
You said I thought I could.
No.
You said that.
Not for another few levels.
God damn it.
Unless I make Murphy huge.
Correct. Mm. Then he could carry everybody.
But
is
there enough space?
20-foot ceilings.
What about survival?
Oh, that's a good one.
Survive. Sure, but if he makes Murphy huge, it's irrelevant. He just walks.
No, for me.
Yeah. With all of you on his back, he just walks.
Oh,
and we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll mark off the second level spell slot.
Yeah, you just walk past them like noobs, as they're like.
I was about to say I'll adjust my Magitek suit to have the cleats too, because
that would give you advantage. He's really good at this one, so he did succeed, but it was
close.
She succeeded with a better roll. They have advantage because they've done this before. And he fails. And then he can't.
Bug?
Yeah, he gets flung off.
As he should.
He goes, ah, shit. And Miko goes, like, hold on. And she lets herself flayed back and she water whips him back up. 2. Success. She fails horribly. She's going to lucky herself. Succeeds. And then bug. Succeeds the time. Third time.
Success. So nobody gets yeeted off?
Success. Bug did, but Miko spent resources to save him.
Okay, because I do have Vortex Warp.
Yeah, that would have been good. But, doesn't work on yourself. Yep. Elves and ally. Hey, you, go 90 feet that way. Actually, hey, you. You, guy 90 foot away from me, go 90 foot the other side of me. It's 180 foot teleport.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I was getting ready to save somebody.
It's not a reaction, it's an action.
I know.
But anyway, so you guys make it up, and they're like, I feel like the giant cat is cheating. But
it's part of our resources.
I know. That was bug is like, it's totally cheating. And Trent is like, no. If you had a giant cat, we'd use the giant cat. Quit bitching. And you realize Trent is pretty much down to earth guy.
Yeah, me and Trent would get along just fine.
It's Trenta. Like
Trenta.
Which means something in Japanese. I don't remember. But yeah, he's a guy with a giant sword. He's basically Trunks. Or who's the other guy?
Cloud Strife.
Yeah, but who's the other guy from DBZ who uses a giant sword?
I never watched Dragon Ball too much.
I want to say it's like Brawl uses a sword at one point. But he's got rippling muscles, a big guy. You guys are chill. And Bug is the mouth that won't stop. And Mako is just the person keeping the two alive. As they figure out the problems, she's the problem solver for the problems they create. Mm-hmm. And she is about as chill as a person can be. So, next level up, it's going to be piss easy for one of you, and then hard for one of you. Yeah, it's not great.
Maybe it's talking to animals. What do you guys think?
I think it's toxic gas related.
Oh.
Go for the next level. And... for the two boys, you see a maze. To Mirage, you see a blank floor with a very faint outline of a maze.
All right.
And I'm gonna need int. I want to say int saving throws. To be honest, mm-hmm. I'm gonna call them int saving throws. From a bard who has proficiency. No, it's Dex Charisma.
I do too.
You don't need to roll.
Okay.
Can we just have her guide us through it?
Because you can't trick your brain.
We close our eyes and hold our arm.
It's not just a visual illusion. She's immune to illusions. Even like a illusory dragon can't hurt her. She is immune to illusions.
Do they like look?
Do we at least get advantage for having her tell us?
Yes, she will. She can guide you the right path, you know, like because she can see where things end. She like walks over there. She's like, "All right, let me trace this bitch back. All right, this is the path." So you can roll with advantage on these saving throws. Trenta, fucking, that's 220s for him so far. By the way. Goes good at it. And Bug doesn't even have to roll. Basically, he's got a bonus so high.
26.
That's really good.
Just one roll. So 17.
That's really good. You guys succeed. Next round. And you're dodging traps and things like that. And it's basically just to trick your brain into knowing there's no way to dodge it. This part's not real.
I'm just seeing them like
duck dodge, weave.
Duck dodge, like almost trip over something.
Oh, you probably see it, like,
nothing.
You see what's a ghosty happening.
Like a ghosty image of it.
Oh, okay.
But you know it's fake.
Yeah.
Trent is not good. Not good. Oh, the whole team's going to fail. No, Bug did not.
I got a 16.
I got 26 again.
The DC was 17.
So, I failed.
Yeah, so did Trunta got a 7 total. And at advantage. Really good. And then Miko got like a 12 with a 3. You're all going to take 16 points.
Okay.
And when you say you all, you just mean the people that failed.
Anyone failed takes 16 points of psychic.
Can I help that at all or no?
No, we're good. You're helping us to get
You're giving them advantage.
Okay.
Last roll.
They also have advantage.
They've done this before. They've been through this exact maze before.
Oh, okay.
But they like certain switchbacks are different, so that's why they're not just piss easy walking through it, you know? But they know what to expect.
Mine's piss easy.
There we go. He literally needed to roll that to succeed. He didn't need to roll that well, but... Yeah. Now, one of them failed, and this is the section where, to you guys, it looks like there's you're in a, like, a hall shooting fire and darts of energy. As you're trying to get to the very end.
DC hasn't changed?
It did go up.
As I mouth the word shit.
Alright. I'll let you know the Japanese students did. Not one of them rolled less than 20. Which is, what's the DC?
I made an 18.
That does not succeed.
I got a
19. Oh, again, no!
Does not succeed. And you don't need to roll. Alright. The failures take 17 points of psychic damage. And you guys are looking kind of ragged. They're like, yeah, this place is a bitch.
I'm going to actually my last set of temporary hit points.
Well, now that we're through, I'm going to activate my
heal.
Heal.
I am too.
Hi.
Have you failed yet?
No.
Mirage? Okay.
Paul's like, damn it.
Mirage, just good at things. Also, Natalie doesn't roll, rolls fucking nutso bonkers all the time.
No, don't say that.
44 plus 4, right?
Cut it.
Yes.
That's a good roll.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how'd you do?
11, 15.
Not quite as good, but still good. You guys glow gently with the heal. They're like, yeah, that's a good idea. All right, you ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Should be the last one.
How many trials are there? Just 4?
Should be the last one, yeah.
Okay. Paul's like, gotta find one that Nelly will fail.
Yeah, basically.
Well...
And you, when you walk in, actually, in this case, it isn't you. It's going to be, it's going to be really mad. Or not mad, but like, oh no. You walk in and it's just an oppressive aura and it just beats down on you from the ceiling. And they're like, oh, I hate this one. And you see a Trenta pops up like a golden shield over his head and then helps the other his two friends hide underneath it.
What the hell?
He's a paladin. He's providing them protective aura against the oppressive gloom and necrotic energy.
I'm resistant to this.
I'm not.
I am not.
I'm opposite of that.
I know. I'm just half tempted to actually use my vortex warp just to put you on the far side.
Get you. Oh, it would only get him like a little more than halfway.
I go halfway and then I take him the other.
Oh, halfway. You're saying you walk it? That would be totally valid.
Mm-hmm. Is there advantages for upcasting it?
No. I don't think so. I'm not going to say yes or no, but...
You only get extra range.
Oh, really? How far is it for extra range?
30 feet per That's good level above.
That's good to know. I was
hoping for a second target.
I wanted to use that spell for extra range, and I've never... Oh, this is not going to be a way. There it is. Okay, so the people who are actually moving, so not Chris, Kamara. And no one gives you shit for it. It's like, no, that's a good idea. Like, if you're like, no, that shit hurts a lot. So I need rolls from the two people.
Mm-hmm. Con saves?
Yes, it'd be con saves.
Yeah, I'd probably do okay with the con saves, but...
If you want to roll for funsies, you can find out if you would have failed. You are not moving, to be clear.
Yes.
Why do you get advantage?
No, I don't.
The only one who mattered, and the other team rolled. Essentially, he's taking the brunt for the whole team.
Yep.
Is that you?
No.
Yeah. It was a good plan.
I'm Marty resistant one level. No, I can't get three levels to get immunity. I was trying to figure out if I could.
Yeah.
Do I get advantage for being resistant?
No.
Just means you take less damage. It's okay.
Do I get advantage for having more movement to get through it faster?
No. Also, Natalie, did you roll?
Yeah.
Okay. I rolled for the my people.
All right, that is a 26.
It succeeded, Natalie.
16 plus 4 for 20.
Succeeded. Next round. He succeeds again.
16 plus
8
for
22
or
24. 24.
24,
yeah. Natalie?
I was getting 26. Sorry, I mismathed.
What's the DC?
You don't know.
14 plus 4 for 18.
You going to stand on that?
Yeah.
17. All right, yeah.
I cast my spell.
The last one is harder.
I do cast my spell to take him
across. And you whip him across the room. He's like, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Actually, it literally just appeared. Like a, what does it look like? You've never cast it before.
Correct. Basically, I view it as like I rip open or a rift literally ripped open and just relocates him.
Just drops underneath him. Vroom. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of like how we showed up. My father and I.
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting the inspiration for my teleports is.
Got it. No, that wasn't a rift. You just all of a sudden appeared.
Yeah. And I'm kind of basing that off.
So it's like a sudden.
Yeah.
Okay. Natalie, how'd you do?
Do I think a 15 roll. Plus 4 will do it for 19?
Last roll.
Well, no.
Okay. No. This is for the last roll, so no.
And I can't dance myself.
I think I'm going to use a lucky. Mm-hmm. It's much worse. I just give me the damage ball.
25. Necrotic. Would that have dropped, Chris?
50?
Yeah, because I took damage from the previous level.
Yeah.
You said 25?
Yes.
So 12 from...
Yes. Yeah, I assume you failed the 20?
19. Just waiting for my artificer ability to give people...
Flash of insight?
Yep. I give plus my intelligence to saves as a reaction.
Yeah, it's good. Oh, no, or skill checks.
Probably. I don't have it yet, so...
It's really good. It's probably my favorite ability they have, to be honest. All right. So you guys make it across just fine. And you notice that Trenta just carries his golden shield over his head and his team underneath it. And he shakes off and you see it's like ablative. It's cracking as it goes. And he's like, hey, I made it all the way through this time, guys.
Can I use ability to try to fix the shield for him?
No, he makes it out of energy.
Okay.
Basically, what it was, if he ever failed, it was going to hit his. His team was going to get hit.
Yeah, 44 healing.
44 plus 4.
You all bought one.
Yep.
When did we get that?
Though when she said she had 22 gold, I think she just didn't mark down the gold from purchasing it.
No.
22 copper, you mean?
Yeah, copper.
I might not have had enough to buy it.
Because what was it, 10?
Like. I think 9, actually.
Well, we got the tiny hut, right?
No, this is
this was before this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you know, you all bought one like 4 or 5 sessions ago. So you can just write it down. It's the
I don't think I paid for it, though.
You did. Yeah, I made sure you did.
Yeah, because you had the same silver or copper as what I had.
So it's an amulet of regeneration, and it's once per day or once per long rest, 44 plus 4. No, just write it down.
Whatever.
I know we did it. I made sure you all have one. Once per long rest, 4d4 plus 4.
I literally just have amulet of
regeneration.
Or just write regen.
You need to spell it or you got it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, amulet of regen.
44 plus 4.
4d.
4.
Plus 4.
Once per long rest. Would you like to roll 44 and gain some hit points back? Do you want me to roll you 44?
Minimum of 8 points of healing.
Yeah, Paul, I'll let you do it. Because I don't have any out. And it sounds like you really wanted to roll some things.
I did pretty freaking good. 11, 13, 17?
Yeah. Three off.
37 plus 17?
Yep. 54? 37 plus 17, right?
You're correct. Mm-hmm. 54.
Cool. So yeah, you guys make it to the final staircase. And up on top, there's a lounge.
All right.
Video games, couches, a snack bar, loaded snack bar. Very upscale arcade, it feels like, you know? And you know, Trencher just like collapses on the couch and he's like, yes, we did it this time. No one fell out of the tower.
And when we first get out there, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop and find out this is another trap. I'm paranoid right now.
No, we're just here to hang, guys. This is where we come in to hang out, but we have to fight to get here.
Okay.
It's incentive. We really want to get here because it's the only spot in the whole place with any access to technology that isn't bugs. Bugs, like, yes, it's hell out there. Hell. Hell, I tell you. I should have gone to the grid. I had an offer, you know. An offer. I shouldn't have refused it.
Bug, are you okay?
What do you mean?
Like, mentally?
And he's, like, twitching, like.
Oh.
And Miko, like, says, no.
He's not okay. Okay.
He's a little off.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot off.
Mm-hmm.
No. He's addicted.
Uh-huh.
This is the only place he can get his fix.
Yeah. He walks over and, like, hugs the arcade cabinet. and then he pats it, and then he sits down, and he pulls out, like, you know, the next-gen Xbox controller. He's like, ugh. And then his eyes just blank out as he, like, becomes one with the game. Literally one with the game. And as you guys kind of just sit and get to know the team rather than just talk to them, I think it's time to end.
All right.
Take care, folks.
Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.